Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Booze Hustle. This is your host, Kristen. Thank you for being so patient. It's taken me a few weeks to have 5 minutes to get this episode out to you guys. So April was probably the busiest month I've had in a very long time. I was in Austin for a hot minute, which was very cool. I was in Chicago, got to see some friends, did some work out there, was in Boston quite a bit. And, you know, finally settling down for 1 week where I'm working in my home market and then back on the road again. So thank you for being so patient. I really appreciate it. Got a really great episode for you this week. On this episode, I interview Nadine Gengris. She is a regional sales manager for a wholesale wine and spirits distributor. Over the last 4 seasons, I realized I've talked to winemakers, distillers, comedians, actors, writers. Like, it's never occurred to me that I've never actually interviewed anybody working in the distribution and supply side of things. And for most people, that area of the business is kind of like this invisible link between, you know, the places that make your booze and then the places that you buy it. But in reality, it's actually a very large part of shaping what the beverage industry looks like and the products that you buy. I've known Nadine for a very long time. We actually sold against each other for competing companies for many of those years, but like never in like a weird competitor kind of way. We're always kind of like, you know, lock eyes across the room, like respect, you know, respect for each other, because she's just such an awesome person and really good at her job. And, you know, she's got such a great ability to, you know, really navigate her way through a complicated business. We talked to her about her start in the service industry and how she's learned, like really leaned into the wine and spirit sides of things to build a pretty strong career, balancing, you know, work and raising a family. She's just a ray of light. Everyone that knows her just thinks she's the coolest, and that includes me. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Cheers. There's a giant fat cardinal sitting right outside my window right now, staring at me.
Oh, lucky. Maybe if I look out my window, I also would see a cardinal, and then we could be like cardinal sisters.
This is weird. There are literally 4 birds outside my window right now, all staring at me.
Yeah, they're like, what's up?
All right. Well, welcome to the Booze Hustle. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited. I feel like we have been talking about it for a little while.
Forever. I've been doing a little bit more like recording with friends lately, and the listeners know, like, I have a crazy job, so I travel a lot, and I haven't had a lot of bandwidth to like be reaching out to people, because I produce the show myself now. So like, I'm just like, who do I know that's awesome that I can try to do this with?
Well, I also, for the record, I think that I kind of invited myself onto the show because, and I think it was like a few months ago, or maybe it was like December or something, I was like, you know, I was like listening to your show, and I was like, she needs to do one where someone's interviewing her. And
oh my God, I completely forgot about that.
So I think that I kind of subliminally got myself invited on.
Well, obviously that must have like stroked my ego in the moment. I'm like, yes, interview yes. me. No, but honestly, I completely forgot about that. I just, listen, there's not as many badass women in the beverage industry as there should be. Considering the amount of badass women on the planet. So when I find one like you, I hold on tight, because we've known each other for a long time now, I think.
We have. I know. It has been
a journey.
Probably, I think I've been with my current company for like 13 years, and I feel like I met you very early on, and I remember we would meet up for lunch or meet up at different events and stuff. And I was always just sort of like enamored with you and like your sort of confidence. And like, I feel like from the get go, you always just like knew your shit. You know what I mean? Like, and I was just like,
that's so nice.
We were going somewhere with you and you were like pitching something. And it was like, obviously your brands at the time were a little more like esoteric than mine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how does she know all this stuff?
Fake it till you make it, girl. No, I'm just kidding.
That's true. But I don't know. I mean, like I, for the listener, you know, I get to be on the receiving end of hearing you talk occasionally. And this past week, I got to get a little education from you. And I was just like so impressed with your knowledge of everything, like you talking about like the soil type and just like literally just like breaking it down. And you can go macro level or you can go micro level. And I just think that it's just has definitely been very inspiring to sort of be in your presence.
That's so nice. You want to be on my show all the time. Like, you are more than welcome.
So I will be your hype girl.
I'm gonna obviously, I'll introduce you at the beginning of the show and do a little bio on you. But why don't you tell the listeners who you are and what you do. And then we can kind of, like, I don't know, start in the beginning. Because, like, spoiler alert, Nadine and I have known each other in the wine and spirits industry for a while. But we've kind of run, like, concurrent lives in different roles, in different, like, capacities. But kind of, like... Mm. In the same regional area. Watching her evolution has been really cool too. And we're going to talk about that. But yeah, tell everyone where, what you do now and a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Nadine Gengris. Not sure if we're using last names in this.
Which I called you Gengris for a long time, by the way.
I mean, like literally, like I have like close high school friends that still like say Gengris. Like it's one of the hardest last names for people to wrap their heads around, which I get.
It like, shouldn't be because it's a hard G, like giraffe. Gengris.
I usually say Gengris like Jenga. Oh. Like if you know the game Jenga, like just kind of, I mean, obviously it's a J, but like it's pronounced the same.
I will not forget that now. Giraffe.
Let's see. I currently work for a distributor. I manage a team of sales reps, six wonderful sales reps. I love my team so much. They're just such a great crew. But so I started, you know, working in restaurants when I was 15 in a little pizza place in my hometown in Waterford, Connecticut. And honestly, like that's just sort of, I remember starting there and literally just like, it was this like the crazy pizza place and there's like literally like people calling out orders and stuff like that. And I was just like so blown away. Like, I feel like I was just like kind of shy and like maybe a little meek, and that really sort of pulled me out of my shell and just created just like a little bit of confidence. And obviously I was like sort of behind a counter, and I guess it only makes sense that I would eventually be behind a bar, you know, like kind of just like on stage. So
translatable,
you know,
skills.
Yeah. So I, you know, worked in restaurants and stuff. And then I was serving at a bar in Manchester, Connecticut when I was 20 years old, and we got really busy. It was like this crazy sports bar. It's not there anymore. It's like a used car dealership, but we did like Coyote Ugly kind of stuff. We would like dance on the bar, but we'd wear like cheerleading.
What? Wait, what place was this?
It was called All Stars.
Stop it.
And
you Coyote Uglied?
In like a cheerleading uniform.
Oh my God.
And I was like
amazing.
The only one.
Pictures.
probably, maybe. But I like was a cheerleader. So I was like in charge of choreographing all of the dances.
Stop
and stuff
it.
That we did on the bar. Oh yeah. Yeah. Fun fact.
You took a lot of pride in that, didn't you?
I did a little bit too much. But there was like one night where it was like so busy and the bartenders were getting slammed, and the owner grabbed this like register out of the back, plopped it on the bar, and he looked at all the servers and he's like, "Who knows how to bartend?" And I was like, "I do." And just like, I didn't. I had no idea what I was doing, but just like everyone else, like I feel like every bartender, nobody went to Boston Bartender School.
No,
like everyone
actually,
just, like,
I did.
Lied.
I did. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Stop. Time out for a second. Every bartender origin story, like 90% of them. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Now is different. Now is very different. People study like under the tutelage of a mixologist and they learn like how to make shit. Like 20 years ago, people literally just looked at you and said, "Do you know how to make drinks?" And then you lied and said yes, and then you figured it out. Or you went to some fucking stupid bartending school like I did, paid these morons probably $250 to like learn, literally memorize drinks, and then they pour tested you at the end, I guess, to make sure that you knew how to count.
Essentially. 1, 2, 3.
And then I remember, like, one of the first bartending jobs, well, the second, actually, like a real bartending job I applied for, they were like, do you know how to bartend? I said, I went to Boston Bartending School. And the guy was like, yeah, that and a bag of nickels will get you a fucking hot dog. I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Apparently not, it's not as reputable as I thought it was.
No. So go on. You didn't go to the non-reputable bartending school.
No. I went to the School of All Stars in Manchester, Connecticut.
It's amazing.
And I was just like, yeah, sure, I know how to do this. And I just, just figured it out. You know, I remember someone ordered a sombrero to me, and I was like, and this is before we could Google things on our phones.
Yeah.
And I like literally turned to everyone that was working. I was like, what's in a sombrero? One girl was like, my mom drinks them. It's Kahlua and milk. And I was like, yes. Oh, so it's just my God.
That, yeah, those were the days, like, man. You had to find a bartending book, like a dusty bartending book behind the bar.
Yeah.
And like blow on it and pretend like you knew what you were doing. Oh, totally. My God. That's crazy. Can't believe you did that. That's.
Yeah.
I love that about you so much because, listeners, Nadine, she says she works at a distributor and she manages the team, but she's underselling herself a little bit. She's like a badass boss bitch. And
I'll take that.
I'm sorry. I actually really despise when people say boss bitch or
I'll
boss
take
lady.
It.
But she's like a boss lady now. And like she manages an on-premise, which means a restaurant division of a wholesaler in Connecticut, like a really big one, just a big job. You've had some big jobs there. So like, I love that, you know, people, I love that evolution about you. It's just amazing.
Thank you. It's been a crazy journey. So I obviously worked my way up from, all-stars.
No, you just went right from all-stars to managing some salespeople at a distributor.
But just definitely different, different bars and restaurants. I lived on Martha's Vineyard for a summer, which was just like the best bartending out there. It was just like probably, one of the greatest, times of my life. And then came home and, was lucky enough to work at some amazing places in Harford County. Worked for the Max Group in multiple restaurants, from Max Burger to Max's Oyster Bar, Trumbull Kitchen, catering. I worked at Brico. So I was like really lucky to check off some amazing spots in Harford County. And then I remember a frustrating thing about bartending in your 20s is I feel like everyone's always like, so what'd you go to school for? Mm-hmm. And what is this your full-time job or what's your day job or whatever? And for a big chunk of my life, it was always, this is my job, like,
yeah,
this is what I'm doing. And people, well, what'd you go to school for? I'm like, well, I went to school for something, but like, I don't want to be a teacher. I thought I did, but I don't. So like, this is what I'm doing. I'm waiting. I would always joke, I'm waiting for my epiphany. Like I just never
waiting
really.
Waiting for your epiphany? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you, you did go to school for like what, like you got like an undergraduate in like early childhood education or something?
So I started off at UConn. Like I wanted to be a teacher. So I wanted to get into education, but back in my day, it was really hard, even back then. Like it was hard to get into the education program at UConn. Mm-hmm. It was a 5-year program. Like I was just like, and then I just did like an internship, and I was like, I just don't have the patience to be a teacher. So I went with human development and family studies.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, this is like, maybe I'll still do something with kids, whatever. But I just like,
it makes sense that you ended up bartending then, because that is literally like dealing with children.
Exactly.
On so many levels. So you got the right skills. I know a lot of like teachers or people that went to school to be teachers and or history or whatever. And then the sad thing is about this country is that you go to school to be a teacher, and you put so much work into it, and then you graduate and you're one of the most underpaid professions. Like
it
I think
brutal.
The starting salary for literally any teacher should be $100,000, no matter what. And then it will create a little bit more of like all of the education system will get better because there'll be competition. You'll be getting the best people because there'll be so many people that want the jobs that are really well qualified that the skill levels will be raised,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's not only is it you're completely undercompensated for being a teacher, but you're literally taking your life into your hands every single day. And we're just like, yeah, just go. Just, teach our kids.
Yeah, and mold them.
We're super lucky. Yeah, we live in an area where we have a great school system, and my daughter's in fifth grade, and she's just, you know, we're so lucky. And I know that there's so many people out there that aren't lucky to live in areas where the teachers aren't, you know, taken care of, and it's brutal. So anyways, I realized it wasn't for me teaching. Mm-hmm. So I just kept bartending, and I just loved it. And, you know, I bought my first house with my now husband, but boyfriend at the time, when I was 23 years old, and lived in West Hartford, and I was just like living the life. And
dang,
it was great.
You bought a house when you were 23?
Yeah, I think I was 23, wow. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. It was
That's
wild.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. But then, you know, I came to a point where literally every single person that walked through the door, I hated them, no matter who they were. I was just like, I'm just done with everybody in the world.
Okay.
And I knew it when I had like one guy who was like my barometer. I loved him so much. And he was a bartender as well. So he didn't come in very often, but when he did come in, I loved seeing him. Mm-hmm. And there was one night he came in, and I was like, this fucking guy. And then I realized, I was like, now that I'm starting to hate my favorite person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's
time
to go
to hang up my apron.
Yeah. But it's interesting. Like, you left it and then you went right back into it, but just like on the other side of the counter.
Yeah, well, it just felt like a natural, because I still like hadn't gotten my epiphany, you know. So it's just like, it just felt like a natural progression. It's like, you know, people, I think when you're on the other side of it, you're like, oh, you think of it as being like a 9-to-5, which it mm-hmm. isn't. You know, but you know, the benefits, the, you know, just a little
it's
bit more normalcy,
life changing. And so I think a lot of our listeners, like, you know, a good chunk of my listeners work in the industry, so they know a little bit about wholesale distribution. But for the people that don't, some of this episode might go over your heads a little bit, or not go over your heads. Mm. That you're all smart. Nothing's going over your head.
Or just like be bored
but
by it.
Just maybe like you'll be like, what the fuck are they talking about? But we're going to talk a little bit about wholesale distribution as a business model and our careers within it. And maybe you'll learn a little bit about it, you know? And because it's interesting. And there are a lot more women there now, thank God. And especially where you work and on your team. And I notice more in the teams that go to restaurants. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, it just, maybe because like just women are, I don't know, maybe like they're more attracted to that type of, route as a salesperson than like going into male dominated liquor stores where you 90% of the time are only dealing with men as buyers.
Yeah.
So I could see why women more gravitate towards that. But tell the listeners a little bit about your transition from, you know, working in the restaurant industry to becoming a distributor. And yeah, just like touch on that. And like, was it, what do you wish you knew about the industry before you switched over?
Oh man. So, I agree. And just to kind of circle back on like the female thing, I think, you know, how many females were at my company when I started 13-ish years ago versus now is just wild. And I think a lot of the on-premise or bar and restaurant sales reps versus the retail sales reps, a lot of the retail guys, I'll say, because they are mostly men, they've been doing it forever. You know, there isn't a lot of turnover on the retail side, where I think on the on-premise side, a lot of people do it. And then sometimes, most of the time, they get promotions from within. I feel like they're the people who kind of like to bounce around a little bit or maybe want to grow within our company. Our company is wonderful about from promoting within. So they get promoted to different positions and stuff. So I think the retail thing is mostly because those guys have just been doing it forever and they just kind of stick with it because they all seem to have pretty good gigs. But I so when I decided that I wanted to make the switch, I was lucky. The bar manager that I was working with at the time, he had a good friend who worked for my company, and we met and had coffee one day and we just kind of chatted, and he was part of the sort of learning and development arm of the company. And we just had like a great chat, and he was like, you know, I think that you'd be a nice fit, but we don't have anything available right now. But if something comes up, I'll let you know. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, well, shit, well, I need a job, because I didn't have a job at the time. So I started training at Fleming's.
Oh.
And I don't know if you know about the training program at Fleming's, but it is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Like, I think I went through like 3 weeks of training with Laura DeMeo. Do you know her? She's wonderful. She gives the world's best hugs. And she was a great trainer. She worked at Millwright's for a little while.
I mean, you're not landing a plane. What the fuck is the...
It was just so much. The food, like the wine, everything. It was just like...
I appreciate that.
It was
that,
crazy.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really... I mean, they do it right. And I know someone who's going through their training program right now. And to his final test was he had to wait on the chef and the managing partner.
Yeah, I've had to do that. Like, listen, yeah. I was being an asshole a minute ago. But like, honestly, like... There's nothing like going to a restaurant and having a server that knows the menu inside and out and the wine list inside and out. And they've taken the time to answer your questions. And when I worked at Girl and the Goat in Chicago, every server like that was training, you had to start as a, I think you had to start as a food runner to learn the food. And then after you did your time as a food runner, you could take mock service essentially, which is you would come in and it was intimidating. You were making food or waiting on the chef Stephanie or the owners, and they'd come up to the table and we'd be sitting there and we'd ask them all these questions. Like, it's intimidating as shit. And they had to pass, they had to like hit it. So I mean, I love that. Like, there should be a little bit more of that, I think.
Yeah, I felt really bad. So I went through all of the training and I worked for like a week. Like, honestly, I think I worked for like official shifts for like a week. And then I got the call that my company had an opening. So Liz, who's there now, she's the managing partner now. I like worked with her. She was the catering and events. So we kind of joke about that. But
that's funny.
So I started off as a sales rep, and at the time my company was, the sales reps were both retail and on-premise. So we were bars and restaurants and stores. And then I did that for like 9 months, but I just like could not get the retail portion of it down. Like, I could never remember what was posted or on sale. That's another way of saying it. I just like was just terrible at stores. And like you said, like, you know, it was a newbie route, so I had the shittiest accounts.
And they were awful to you, I'm sure.
Oh, they were just like literally like, you know, I had this one guy that would always walk by me and just like kind of rub my ass. And it was just like, but it was as I was taking an order, and you're young and you just like, you're new to it. And you're just like, what do I do? You know, it's just like, it's such a crappy
girl,
sort of
we could do
situation.
A whole episode on shit retailers have said or done to me when I was a sales rep, like for a wholesaler. Yeah. Like, the amount of bullshit that women put up in retail. I've had at once, like, I'm pretty good at sticking up for myself and doing it in a way where it, like, but it took me some time, I think, to learn, right? Because you're new.
It definitely takes time. Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, I don't want to get thrown out of here. This is my account. You don't realize that you could actually just tell your boss and they would go in there and straighten somebody out for you. But I didn't know that either. I had a guy that wouldn't shake my hand because I was a woman. Like, he literally just stared at my hand while I had it out. And then I just did
I
did the, like, I handshake the air, and then I wiped my hair with it. I was like, cool.
It is crazy. It is crazy. And I do think, again, I do think that times have changed back in our day. You know, things were a little different. But I do think it has gotten better. Because I was actually talking with one of our managers, retail managers at our company the other day, and he was saying that a buyer said something inappropriate to one of his female sales reps, and he was planning on going in to see the guy and have a conversation with him. So I loved that. It made me love this guy even more. He's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But just like hearing that, and just like, so back to your question, what do I wish I knew? Mm-hmm. I wish that I knew that I could stand up for myself a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just tough when you're commission, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you need that sale. And when you have a shitty sales route, and it was like one of my better accounts, and he ordered all of the duels from me, because in Connecticut, you can buy Jameson from six different, you know, distributors. Mm-hmm. So I wanted the Jameson and I wanted the Grey Goose, like the things you could buy from other people. So he gave me all that stuff. So it's just like, I just ignored the, you know, the butt brushes.
I know. You're going to have to tell me when we're not recording who that was, because I guarantee I know who it is.
I don't know. I haven't been to that area in a while. I don't even know if it's still a place, but I will definitely
I'm sure
you.
It is. Do you remember how many times I tried to hire you?
Well, I don't think there was ever like an official.
I would have made room for you. So if you don't believe me, so Nadine works for a company, and the person that runs her company now used to be my boss when I was a distributor. And you can ask him if you don't believe me how many times I brought up your name over the years. I was like, can we hire Nadine? Can we? And every time he's like, she lives in a different part of the state, or I don't know. Yeah. She probably doesn't want it. But then we'd go to lunch and I'd be like, so if you ever want to come over.
Well, I mean, it is different because the company you work for and the company I work for, you know, is different, especially like at that time, the books are so different that like it is very enticing to work with sort of craft spirits have always been a big passion of mine, and boutique wine and high-end champagne, obviously. Who doesn't want to drink high-end champagne on a Tuesday night or whatever? So, you know, I went to it, remember going to an event with you when we got to drink some nice champagne with the winemaker. And so I could have been if you were still there.
Which guy are you talking about?
Remember we went to the Clicquot?
I had the Clicquot winemaker with me. I forgot about that. Yeah, and
Max's Oyster
Bar. That was fun. Was awesome.
It was fun.
Just dragging around the Clicquot winemaker all day and then being like, we're going to just sit here and eat now for 3 hours. And he was totally happy about that.
Yeah, totally. It was awesome.
That was great.
So I did the sales rep thing for like 9 months, and I was like, I got to get the fuck out of this job. Like I could not hack retail. Like it was too much. So a position opened in my company. It's not a thing anymore, but it was called Account Development Specialist for the Spirits. So I called on the top 75 bars and restaurants in Harford County, and I just focused on the spirit portfolio. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. I think reflecting on my career at my company, it's probably one of my favorite jobs because I was like still fairly young, and so I hadn't had my daughter yet, but I did have her while I was in that position. But just doing events and staff trainings and just meeting people and coming up with cocktail lists, mm-hmm. and it was just kind of like it was
fun,
kind of when the craft cocktail boom was happening too. Mm-hmm. So it's just like really fun to be like I don't want to say on the forefront because it was already, so that wave was happening as I,
we're talking about Connecticut, where it's like the stonewashed jeans of America, where like everything just kind of was like 20-year delay. Mm-hmm. So when like New York and Chicago had craft cocktail scenes like booming for 10 years, and then also in Connecticut, people were like, oh, you have fancy vermouth?
Yeah, totally fancy vermouth in the fridge.
Ooh, took a little longer. It took a little longer for the people in boat shoes and
totally.
Sweaters around their shoulders to adjust. That's right. Yeah. They're still just drinking vodka soda anyway. So.
Oh my gosh, I know. Freaking Tito's. Anyways, so So I did that and it was awesome. And then I got promoted to manage that team, which is really cool. And then I got a different job where I was managing that team and some of our trade development managers, which they focus on specific portfolios. So it's just really cool to try a few different things. I've never really had a path in our company. Like I always admire people that have like a clear cut path. I want to do this and then I want to do this and me too. I'm just like, I never thought I would be in this position. I never really thought that like managing sales reps would be something I would be interested in doing. But now I've been doing it for maybe 2.5 years or so.
You seem a little bit more adjusted now. You had a little bit of a white knuckle situation in the beginning. You were a little bit like,
I think I called you and I was like, should I go work for a supplier? I don't know. Like,
this is hard. People suck.
So hard. And just like that first year, just figuring it out because there's like more admin, running reports, you know, like I'm kind of chained to my computer a little bit more than I want to, because for me, like when I'm in front of people, like that's where I feel like I'm best. You know what I mean? Like I'm not great at small talk just in general. Like if I'm at a cocktail party and if I have to small talk with someone, just like, I'm the worst. Don't ask me questions about myself because I'm just like,
oh no, we're going to launch into a serious conversation about your childhood your like,
I could do that with you.
It's going to be like a real conversation or I don't want it.
Okay, totally. Yeah. You know? Who hurt me? but if you get me in front of like a buyer or you get me in front of a bartender or something like that, I could literally bullshit all day long. Like my husband gets so frustrated with me because we'll go out to dinner and I just like get to chit chat and you know, and it's just like, but I mean, he doesn't mind it when I can, you know, put it on my T&E, but, so
there's the perk.
So, but it has been great. I feel like I've found a bit of a groove. I mean, it's still kind of craziness and, you know, like right now it's end of month and we're just like chasing cases of so much random stuff, and it's just like a hamster wheel.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So you might not know this. I don't know how many episodes you listen to of the show, but I don't think I've interviewed a distributor before, like anyone who's worked for a distributor. And if I have, I'm so sorry if I have forgotten and spaced out. I've done a lot of episodes at this point.
Yes, but you have. Yeah.
I don't think I have ever interviewed not a distributor.
I've listened to a lot of your episodes. And yeah. I can't remember one, but
well,
yeah,
I will say this. The reason that it's kind of a mystery for the everyday person is it the three-tier system, like the distributor is kind of a it's like a hidden hand, right? Mm-hmm. There's the supplier and the distributors are this invisible hand behind the scenes. Like the consumer knows the brand and they know where they shop and that's it. And like, so the distribution end of things is very, I have a hard time explaining what I do for a living to people a lot because they're like, wait, do you work at the winery? And I'm like, well, no, but I work for the winery. They're like, but you also work for that place? I'm like, yes, I work for all of them. Like, it's very hard to explain. And it's a challenging job because you're all fighting for the same business. And in a state where Nadine works, there are, I don't know, dozens of distributors that are all fighting for the same wine list, for the same cocktail menu, for the same everything, you know, shelves, like positions, like when you go into a store and you see a big like stack of cases that are on sale, like they fight for that. So it's interesting to like, you know, I think hear a little bit about that perspective, right? And like, you know, what it must have been like for you. I hate to make this about being a woman, but like honestly, in this business, it's very different perspective, you know, that I don't think a lot of people get to hear about a lot. But you know, even just like, you know, maybe not as from a woman angle, but in general, like, you know, like what it's like building those relationships and like how challenging it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it is. And there's always, I mean, at the end of the day, like it does always kind of come back to those skeevy men and just that making it awkward. You know, I was talking with one of our younger female sales reps the other day, and it's tricky because she's single. You know, like for me, I've been married the whole time I've been here. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's easy just to be like, oh, I'm married, and they'll typically leave you alone for the most part. But when you're young and you're cute, like this particular one that I'm talking about, like she struggles with it because it's like, yeah, again, you have to find that line of just like, it's It's tricky. But I think that, I mean, I am so lucky because, well, our division is run by a woman. Mm-hmm. And that is, I feel like that is also like maybe a little bit rare in distributors. I mean, I can think of one of our bigger competitors where there is a female. But, you know, we're really lucky that our company, the other one.
The other one? Wait, we're like signaling to each other right now? Which one? Do a letter. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, but like I just realized like you, a couple of your divisions are run by women. Two?
Which is really crazy. And my manager, I will give her a shout out, Sandra.
She's awesome.
She's the best. She really is. She is just like, she's such a great manager. She works her ass off. We were talking at my annual review, and she was like, you know, one of the questions is always like, what do you see? I mean, at least at my company, because my company is great at promoting people, whether it's within the company or outside the company or moving to a different state. My company is very pro growth. Mm-hmm. So she was like, so what do you, have you thought about your next step? And I was like, well, first of all, I feel like I finally know what the hell I'm doing. So like, I'm not going to go anywhere for a little while.
Yeah.
And second of all, I was like, well, I definitely don't want your job, because her job is just like, it's just so much just like triaging all of the suppliers. And like literally everyone wants a piece of the pie. And we have so many suppliers and they're all calling her, and how come I don't have anything on the wine list here? And I don't have anything on the wine list here. And I just had dinner and, you know, Stanford and, you know, where's my... You know.
I hope she appreciates that I don't do that to her.
I'm sure that she does because, you know, it is, it's tough.
Let's talk about booze a little. So I saw you were in Mexico recently.
Señorita.
I know you're a tequila gal.
I love tequila.
Let's talk about like the industry a little bit and trends, right? Because you're in a good position to do that. I would love your input as a distributor. What is something that is completely oversaturated that you wish you never had to talk about again? Without naming brands and getting yourself in trouble. And then also, alternatively, on the other side, what is something you think is going to be very, very cool in the next couple of years?
So, oversaturated.
I already know what
I would say. Do you?
I think so.
Well, it's not going to be celebrity tequila, if that's what you think it is.
No. That has legs. Those got legs.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in terms of spirits, I think that it's just vodka is just, I understand when people like keep coming out with vodka or when people claim like this is going to be the next Tito's. It makes me crazy. My company doesn't sell Tito, so I am a little like I do shit talk it a little bit because it kind of, I mean, it's also out of jealousy, obviously, because they're just like crushing it. And, you know, the timing of Tito's and everything, like it just really came out at just like that perfect time when people started giving a shit about craft spirits and American made. So it is definitely 100% jealousy.
But it's not. It's not a craft spirit. Allegedly. It is allegedly not. I don't know. Listen, they've got the most fucking brilliant marketing of all time. They've convinced a legion of humans that something is something that it is not. And they are so loyal to it. And there is no debating it. It is just what it is. And that's completely fine. I will say, though, one thing about vodka really quick, though, just because this reminded me of something. Do you ever think that vodka is making a comeback again because the younger drinkers were not overexposed to it the way we were? And now it seems like a new shiny thing again.
I don't know. I don't know if I've seen that because I'm just so constantly just fighting the Tito's battle, I think. So I just like, and it's, you know, it's one of those things that you'll literally see kids, you know, 21-year-olds drinking it, and then you'll see grandparents drinking it. Like literally everyone, every age was drinking. I was at a bar the other day and someone ordered an Absolut on the rocks and I wanted to hug them because I Absolut's one of the brands that I sell and has taken a big hit from it. So I was like, you know, you don't really hear that anymore. So I don't know.
It was like an Absolut rep, I'm sure. The supplier.
He had a Swedish accent, but whatever, no big deal.
Well, so, all right.
Okay. but I don't know. Is it coming back? Maybe. I wish I was feeling that because vodka is one of the things that I'm chasing right now for end of month. And it's been pulling my hair out. But
can you tell our listeners what end of month is, because they don't know what that means.
End of month. So like every you know, like we have our goals every month. We have our goals, and it kind of just like always boils down to the last week of the month. And it's usually retail, like stores have a heavier end of month than restaurants do typically, because everyone wants to buy what's on sale. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. we call it their post-offs. So
they wait till the last week because...
Yeah,
because
they don't want to spend that
they
money.
They don't want to spend money. So that some their rep goes, this is on sale this month, when they dutifully show up every week and say, obviously, like, you're out of this. And they go, no, I'm not buying it. And then they wait till the last week of the month, and then they order enough to get them through till when it's on sale again. It's insane.
Yeah. So end of month affects us because, like, for example, this month we have a couple suppliers' fiscals closing. So we have some specific metrics that we haven't hit yet, or goals mm-hmm. that we haven't hit yet. So we're just like scrambling and begging all of our wonderful customers to buy the random vodka that we need to sell.
So I want to talk about this a minute, because for our restaurant people listening, and, you know, I follow all the hilarious social media, like liquor industry and all that stuff. Yeah. They just love to shit on distributors and suppliers and, like, us hitting our goals and, like, sending things. But I think I understand from their perspective, like, they don't want to buy what they don't want to buy. I get it. Because you and I have both been that person where we've had to, like, be on that side. But, like, I don't think they understand the pressure that you guys deal with from suppliers like me and suppliers like you guys have a shitload of suppliers, and the type of pressure that you get internally. Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I think it's really good for perspective.
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, like I said, we have five different divisions at my company. Four of them are in bars and restaurants. So like we have 8 million different brands in my company. That's broken up into five different divisions for mm-hmm. stores. So like those... You have like one rep that sells X amount of brands, another rep that sells X amount of brands, and they're all calling on the same stores. But in on-premise, so in bars and restaurants, there's just one rep that represents 8 million brands. And so it's a lot of pressure for, I feel like, particularly these on-premise reps, where you're trying to make everybody happy. You want, if you have a really great restaurant, every supplier wants to be on their menu. Like, let's throw an example, Viron Rondo in Cheshire. It's not my account, but I know the monster that it is. It's this crazy restaurant that's just like always busy. And every single supplier is always like, I want to get on Viron's list. I want to get, you know, I want to, why don't I have a wine by the glass? And it's like their poor sales rep is literally getting pulled in every single direction, trying to make everyone happy. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely really tricky to just kind of manage all of it. And, you know, it's like every month, you know, the suppliers are basically all spread out now where like their fiscals, it's like every month there's like a different supplier's fiscal closing.
Right.
So it's like this month where we have two suppliers' fiscal closing. So we're like trying to chase this and close this out. But next month it's just going to be a different supplier and their fiscal's closing. Yep. So we're just like selling their,
you know, and stuff. And I think there's a perspective shift that has to happen too, because like old distributor salespeople used to make a lot of money. They would have a handful of accounts. They'd golf 2 days a week. And they, you know, and they show up and they're like, hey, buy this, don't buy this. And they send stuff. But a lot of the younger reps that are calling on these places are not making that kind of money. And the pressure they're getting to hit their goals is tied to them having a job. So it's like, if you're not performing on your quotas, if you're not hitting your numbers, you will be, you know, your job is in question. And I think, and you're also a commission salesperson. And if you're not already making a ton of money from your territory and you want a little bit of a bonus or a little bit of a money coming in from a supplier, I think it's so important. And I also just want to go one more level up, because take it from a supplier to just the wholesaler perspective. I don't think a lot of people even realize the pressure the distributors get from the suppliers. Like, it's like, you know, they have regular reviews of their performance. And depending on what state you're in, some states you could just pull your portfolio and go somewhere else. A state like ours, like the where Nadine works, you can't. You're legally, contractually, like once your brand is there, it's there. And the only thing you can do is threaten to take it and give it to also give it to someone else. So there's a lot of pressure from like a distributor, from a supplier to a distributor to like hit numbers. And then, of course, everything trickles down and then it lands on Nadine's desk. And it's like, hey, you have to sell 50 cases of this no-name, weird, fucking flavored tequila cream bomb by the end of the month.
Delicious.
And then she gives the shit to her reps, and her reps show up to you, and they're like, please buy this. Please buy this. My boss has called me 16. Bomb. Yeah, they've called me 16 times today.
I know. I mean, I am super, super lucky that, like, my team is just, they're really great. Like, they're really great at, like, understanding the priorities. They kind of divide it. My team works really well as a team too. So it's like, you know, where one person's like, I can't sell the flavored tequila cream bomb, but this person can. So they kind of like pick up the weight of the other.
Oh, that's nice.
We have such a, yes, it is. They do work really well together. We definitely have good chemistry, which I love, and everyone pulls their weight. So we are very lucky in that sense, but I think that it's just, I think that our customers have gotten, they get it, you know, they get it that like, there's always going to be favors. They get it that like, sometimes they're going to get asked to take shit that they don't necessarily need, but hopefully they're also getting love and attention and focus,
right,
and,
in return,
you know, or printing menus or whatever it is that, yeah, you know, events and stuff like that, that like, hopefully they feel like they're getting the return on the relationship, yeah. I guess.
I think that the sticky part comes in when you have somebody who shows up and asks you for things, but then they don't show up when they don't need something, or they're unreliable,
oh, yeah,
or they just suck at their job. And then you're like, who is this guy? He shows,
yeah,
up.
Why am I doing all these favors?
Yeah. He calls Bordeaux Bordeaux and oh my God.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
You know what else is weird?
Is.
I have always found to be one of the weirdest aspects of the three-tier system in the Northeast is that, and I think it's changed a lot now that people pay online for everything, for their orders. Mm. But like when Nadine and I were reps, our job was to collect payment and an, oof, order at the same time. And not for the order that you're taking at that moment, but like they owe money like from,
yeah,
a month or two before, and they haven't paid their bill. And you have to go in there and be like, hey, you never paid us. And it's awkward as fuck. And
it's
then you're
so
like,
awkward.
And while I'm here, let's
and while
do
I'm
an
here,
order.
Do me a favor. Can you buy this for me? It is.
Weird.
It is. I think chasing checks. And I think that, I mean, we have a small portion of people that are paying online, but most people
are still
paying via check.
Dang.
And so it's just like, oh, you know, I don't have a. I was just talking to one of my reps the other day, and she's like, I went to pick up the check. They didn't have their checks. So he said to come back on Friday. I came back on Friday. They said they weren't going to have the checks. So I had to come back on, you know, it's just like literally it's wasting so much time chasing checks. It's just like, that's the kind of stuff that
like,
will make you fucking crazy.
It's insane. Like why can't we take pictures of the checks, or why can't you? It's just so stupid.
So we actually like recently got like a, not to get lost in the sauce, but we have
payment
like
system.
An app now where,
yeah,
you can take pictures of checks and deposit them, but the rep still needs the check in their hand,
yeah,
to deposit it digitally. They don't have to go to the bank anymore, which is nice. But one thing I wrote down that I forgot, we need to circle back on what I think is the next thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Because we talked about oversaturation, but we didn't talk about the next thing. And I think one thing that I was thinking that I'm seeing a lot of lately is non-alcoholic, which is something that I love and I'm like super passionate about,
yep,
which I don't know if I should be because I'm in the booze business.
As long as
but,
you're selling the stuff, why not?
But it's like, I love it. I'm also, I've like become such a lightweight too that like I have like one or two drinks and I'm like, good.
Yep.
So I love like Fork and Fire in Farmington. They make a non-alcoholic espresso martini.
Mm.
And so, oh, like if I'm there for brunch, like I can't drink during the day. Like I'm such a wuss now, but I'll have like, and it's so good. So I just love that people are not only, you know, like gone are the days of like you wanted something, you're not drinking or you're pregnant or you don't drink or whatever. And your only options were, you know, pineapple juice and Sprite,
oh my
and
God,
grenadine.
Still mad about that. I'm still mad about that. That, and I would go to a fucking fine dining place. And I'd,
yeah,
be like, what is your non-alcoholic options? And they'd be like, juice or soda. I'd be like, get out of here. You,
yeah,
have a, you have you have a mixologist. You have a bartender. Like, you guys can't make,
yeah,
something. So stupid.
Yeah, totally. Or just like people just like offering like on their menu being like, oh, we can make an old fashioned or we can make a non-alcoholic version of an old fashioned. Like, it's really wonderful. I mean, like the, mm-hmm, Charles, like they're crushing it with their non-alcoholic,
yep,
options. They have not a section with cocktails and non-alcoholic wine and beer. And it's just like, me personally, and my husband doesn't drink. So he likes it because he can actually have like a drink that doesn't taste crazy sweet or over the top. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, he likes dry tasting things. He likes, you know, soda water with bitters in it. So it's like, it's really nice. So I feel like with, especially with the increase in like, you know, marijuana use in Connecticut and all of these like new places popping up or whatever, mm-hmm. and people are smoking pot more than they're drinking, I think that we have to embrace the non-alcoholic things because it doesn't seem like people are, I mean, some people do both, but.
I don't know. I do the one-to-one now. Like I order an alcoholic drink and then a non-alcoholic drink and then an alcoholic drink and a non-alcoholic drink and then I'm done.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the right amount. It's like, and I never feel like I'm missing anything. It's
We also have like a non-alcoholic kind of like a Aperol, you know, option. And so I'll make like a Aperol spritz. So I'll use that, but I'll use Prosecco in it too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's just lower like a ABV. Less boozy version of a, of a Aperol spritz, which I really like. Cause like I said, I'm just like, I'm not trying to get schwasted on a Wednesday, but I want to get just like a little,
I know we're too old a little for that something. Now. We're too old and tired for that now.
I wake up too early in the morning for all that nonsense.
We got responsibilities, Nadine. This is the thing.
Bullshit.
Well, I know. It is bullshit. So I wonder, you know, now I'm going to make you feel like you're in your performance review. What do you, like, obviously you're still getting your head wrapped around, you know, the role you're in now. But, like, what area... Do you think you'll stay in this business, in the wine and spirits industry? Do you feel passionate about it? Is there something else you're really passionate about that you see yourself gravitating towards? Because I got to be honest, like I drink less now too. And so sometimes I'm like, do I have to work in this industry forever? But it's like, oh, I have 1,000 certifications. So yes, I do.
So I did, you know, I was playing around for a little while with, you know, I'm always a victim of, you know, if things get stressful, I'm searching LinkedIn late at night being like, what is something else I could do? Mm-hmm. Honestly, I can't think of any, there's nothing else that really interests me. I do, you know, see myself, you know, my next job, maybe getting back to doing something that's like a little bit more creative. Cause I feel like I don't really, I do get to use the creative side of my brain, but not as much as I like. Mm-hmm. I also like had a big hand in our, you know, building our social media platform in our company. And I don't really like have anything to do with that now. And I did really enjoy that part. But I don't know what that looks like. And I mean, the great thing about my company, I'm sorry, I don't know why I keep saying it, but I can't help it.
I'm going to edit out just every time you say the great thing about my company. This is, I better get some dollars from Breakthrough from the sponsored ad that it's running.
I just can't think of a different way to say it, but like they're always adding jobs and there's like adding different, you know, different things, different elements and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, my next great thing could be around the corner and I just don't know it. But I mean, we do. So Breakthrough, so our parent company is Breakthrough Beverage, and they're in multiple states around the country. And they have a division called the Trident Division, and they focus on the craft spirits, or they call it like the emerging brands. Mm. So they kind of find like the new, cool, crafty things, and they kind of seed them out there and kind of get them out there. And
sometimes
those brands get bought.
Yeah, like our ventures portfolio. They incubate new stuff. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they get bought by a bigger supplier and then the idea is hopefully they'll stay within Breakthrough. Mm-hmm. But I've just always thought that was like a cool division, but like that's not really, because that's our parent company and it's just a little. Yeah.
Listen, just keep being a badass. That's all I want. As long as I can walk into at least one wholesaler in the state of Connecticut and see a badass woman in there, I'm happy. It's like, we always like, it's, I think we do the same thing now that we did like when we first met, which is, I remember when I met Nadine and I didn't have the competitive, I'm competitive with myself. I'm not competitive with others. And when I would see competing distributors in the market, it was never rude. I was always very nice because I found that like we could help each other. They might have something that, you know, they might know someone that needs something. Yeah, there's enough for everyone. Yeah,
that's always what I say. There's room for everyone. And there's certain people are super competitive. And I just think it's weird.
I know.
Because it's just like, yeah. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
But no, I was just saying that, like, I remember doing the same thing then that I do now, which is like, you know, you lock eyes. You're like, yes, you.
Yes.
You're here. Then it's somewhere I want to be. So I respect you a lot. I know you have a really tough job. And I don't know. I want to hear more about All Stars, maybe over a drink sometime.
Well, I think that I would love to. I still know a couple of the dances, so I'll happily do it. Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, I never forget a dance.
Can you record yourself doing one that I can use as promo for this episode? Come on.
I will do anything for you, but I will not record myself dancing.
That would be amazing, though. Wait. I have an idea. Have Rosie do it.
Okay. I could teach her to do it. I could teach her. She would do it.
And then we could use that for promo.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, just to kind of flip the question.
Sure.
Have you thought about your next job or something that you'd be interested in doing besides this?
Yeah, that all the time. All the time.
Yeah. Or what would you be doing? What would you be doing if you weren't doing this? Let's ask you that fun question.
This
is what you'd be doing.
So I have a small media company that is currently just this and a couple other things that I'm working on that I really would love to dedicate more time to. But, you know, I'm not a influencer or a content creator, nor do I have any desire to be that. And I think, you know, I like to be creative and this has been a nice outlet for that. Unfortunately, like, it ain't going to pay the bills. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe one day. Listen, I'm being optimistic. Maybe it will. But I very much do enjoy the education aspect of my job. And I do love that I get to still like come in and nerd out about soil or, you know, specific spirits and how like tequila is made and shit like that, you know? And so I do love that a lot. The supplier life is not always, the most glamorous thing in the world. So I don't know. I think about that all the time.
I love that you have such a passion for doing many things, because I feel like
I have ADHD and ADHD. It's not a passion.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if someone was doing just your job, that would be enough. But you're like, not only am I going to do my job, I'm going to also do this podcast thing, and I'm also going to do like this education thing, and I'm also going to go bowling on Wednesday night with my friend, and I'm also going to do this, and not to mention the fact that I'm like traveling around and have three tiny humans at home, and like a husband who, you know, like, you love, so like, I'm sure you want to spend some time with him. So it's just like, you know, all the things.
It's a lot. Yeah. I operate in chaos. I thrive in chaos. When things are too normal, I start to freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the Sagittarius in me. I'm just this wanderer that's constantly. And I also do think it's the ADHD. It's like I'm like a little mini expert on a lot of different things. But you ask me to know a lot about something, I'm out.
Well, you definitely, like you said, if you're faking it till you make it, you're doing a great job, because hearing you speak about things, sometimes I'm just like, how does she cram all of that into her brain?
Well,
like, that you know so much about.
I know more about some of this stuff than others, but that's just because I've been doing it for so long.
That's true.
But what else? Any other questions, burning questions for me before we
So do you have any advice for people who want to move into this side of the business, let's say from the bar to this, my side of your side?
Remove all of your preconceived notions about what your life is going to look like. It is not a cakewalk. It is not a 9-to-5. That's the first thing. It is equally as hard, but hard looks different. It's a different mindset that you have to be in. But I would say, if you are independent and your self-starter, which is incredibly important.
Oh my gosh, definitely.
If you don't need someone to hold your hand to get up in the morning and get shit done, then it's the job for you. If you are not someone who can motivate themselves to get up at a certain time and manage your own schedule, it is not the job for you. Because everything you do is your results are all a reflection on the amount that you put into it.
Yeah.
So it is worth it if you can rely on yourself to get shit done. It's life-changing if you work in a restaurant and you would like to see people you love on the weekends and at night sometimes, and have the freedom and flexibility to make your own life look like it does. But it's not easy. Get that out of your head, you know? It's just a different kind of
heart. I think that, people think that, because maybe they see something on social media where they're like, oh, Nadine, you were in Mexico and then you were in Aruba and oh, I see this cocktail that you're posting. Like, it's so, you had the best job. I'm like, yeah, it has its perks. Trust me. Like, when I was laying on the beach in Aruba, I was, really feeling great about myself. But like, I worked my fucking ass off to win that Aruba trip. Yeah. Like, it is definitely not. And most of the time when I'm posting a picture of a cocktail, I'm not drinking it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just taking a picture. But it's not all that people think it is. There's definitely a lot of, it's a grind. It's definitely a grind.
Do you enjoy managing people?
I do. I think that it definitely takes some getting used to because I do not enjoy tough conversations,
That's the hardest part.
I would avoid them at all costs, but I've definitely kind of, try to just get them out of the way as soon as I can now, because I'm just like, I just need to deal with it and move on. Otherwise, I'll just like put it off forever. But I do, it's hard in the beginning also just like relying on other people to essentially hit the goals and do your job for you. And you're just like so used to doing it yourself. So just like putting that trust out there that like the number is going to get hit.
Teaching people to fish. That's it.
You're
teaching people to fish and replace you. That's the
like, hero. why would they do this just because I'm asking them to do it? You know what I mean? And then just realizing that they will do it because it's part of their job.
Number one base piece of advice I can give, for people just starting in management. It was a hard lesson for me to learn, but I got it eventually because when I became manager at the distributor, I had a team of old white guys I was on the team with. And then I became their boss at a certain point. And that was weird. And a lot of them had worked there for 15 to 20 years. And they were like, there's nothing you can tell me, kid. That kind of shit. And I learned a good lesson, which was work circles around somebody at first. Prove that you're willing to do every single thing they do and then go the extra mile. And show your value to them in a way that they didn't see before, whether that's going into talking to someone that's difficult for them and getting something done, being able to like break through to people, being able to do things without being asked for them, like helping them without them asking you to help them. And when you all of a sudden you start providing value in some way that they didn't think of themselves, then they're like, oh wait, no, this person actually all right. And then they start to listen to you because the respect only comes from being earned. And especially with like people that are out there busting their ass for commission and they're like, oh, this manager is making a fucking salary sitting on their ass all day. You got to outwork them. You got to outwork them. And then, maybe not the entire time, but in the beginning you do. Yeah. Truly.
I think it's also just incredibly hard going from peer to manager. And I think that happens a lot. It happens a lot in this business because that's how jobs get filled, promoting within and everything. But it's definitely a tricky one and definitely a big learning curve there.
Well, you're a great example of somebody whose evolution proves that, if you're a badass, you can do it.
Well, thanks. Okay. I do have one last question for you.
And then I gotta go because I'm gonna go bowling. Yes,
I know. I'm sorry. I know we're probably way over time.
That's okay.
What is a fun fact that your listeners would be surprised to hear about you?
Does it have to be a fun fact?
I mean, or just like a fact. Maybe it doesn't need to be fun. Or just like something that I know that you've done a lot of these episodes, so I'm sure they've heard a lot about you, but just maybe something that they don't.
I mean, I don't know that they have heard a lot about me because I've typically like try to keep the conversation about the people I'm talking to.
That's true.
I have done episodes like with my friend Tawny back in the day where like we talked about our background in Chicago, but I don't think anyone's mining the old episodes. Man, I honestly cannot think of anything.
Oh my goodness. You are literally the jack of all trades and you can't think of
something. Okay, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a quick story. Okay. I ever tell you how I ended up in Chicago?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe. So fun fact about me. my first job in sales was working for a multi-level marketing company where it was business to business instead of door to door in a neighborhood. Although I did do that too. I did do dish network on the weekends in people's neighborhoods. Ooh. Sorry about that. Everyone,
like dish, like satellite dishes?
Oh yeah. Back in the day.
Oh, nice.
Sorry if I ever knocked on your door, which I would never do now. I would never let my kids do anyways, because I was young and dumb. Anyways, I went business to business, sometimes for web development services and sometimes for credit card processing. I worked on 100% commission. I got thrown out of 30 to 40 places a day, told to get, you know, pound sand, go fuck yourself, no soliciting, all that. In order to get one contract signed that day, I had to get someone to give me their bank account information, their credit card, their banking information, their social security number, and the ability to credit and debit their account with a voided check. That's how to get the deal. Maybe if I got one of those a day, it was like $150. And it was it. Anyways, it was a shitty job. I was in South Florida, which is awful in itself. And I was like, I cannot take South Florida anymore. They transferred me to Chicago, which was Mount Prospect, Illinois, which is not Chicago. If you know Illinois, it's a suburb. And they put me in an apartment with a creepy old dude. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pass. They called them merch houses, which is where a bunch of people who can't afford apartments on their own because they're literally working for this multi-level marketing company and making no money, and they put themselves in debt. So they put you all in one apartment together with weirdos. I put all my stuff in my car. I drove into Chicago, like downtown Chicago, and I was on Lakeshore Drive, and I got off in Lincoln Park. I didn't know where the fuck I was. Got out of my car, walked into a bar called Gamekeepers, and I'm sitting there looking at the menu with the $200 I had left to my name and all my shit in my car. And all of a sudden I hear Kristen. I'm like, what? And I look up, and this dude, Ryan, that I went to college with for a semester in Connecticut, was the bartender. And he was
oh
like,
oh my gosh,
what are you doing here? And I was like, I don't know, I'm homeless. And he let me crash with him.
A couple days. That just gave me goosebumps for some reason.
The apartment across the street from his apartment had a 1 month rent free sign. And I negotiated 2 months rent free because I was like, listen, bro, I don't even have furniture. I'll take it. I don't need to see it. I don't have anything. But can you prorate my rent, make it more, and give me 2 months rent free? And I went to CVS and bought a pan and a bunch of canned goods to survive on, and walked down to Division Street, which is like the Bourbon Street of Chicago, and I got a waitressing job. But I was about 5 seconds from being homeless.
And oh, my
then that
gosh.
That's like a long fact. I'm sorry. But that's like a... That's,
no,
that's
I
my,
love
like,
that.
That's my scrappy origin
How old
story.
Were you?
21.
And what's Ryan doing these days?
Oh, I don't know. What? No, we didn't stay in touch. I don't know. I think he weirded
Did
me out in his little
get
studio.
Awkward.
Literally, studio apartment. It was him on his futon and then me on the floor. And it was a couple days. And I think I got the heebie-jeebies, you know? If you know
gotcha.
What I mean. I was like, oh, it was really nice of you to let
Ryan.
Me stay, but I gotta go. but I did see him at Gamekeepers every now and then. He was a nice dude. Listen, I owe
crazy.
That dude. If I ever see him today, I owe him a beer, for sure.
Totally. Just one.
Yeah, maybe more. I don't know. He saved my life. The universe
saved
my
that's
life.
Really, that's wild. I love that story so much.
Yeah, so... Very long fun fact.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Well, it was also something your listeners would be surprised to hear about you. So I think that the MLM business to business is
multi-level marketing. Listen, I have the thickest skin of anyone in the world. You can say whatever to me. It does not. I have a Sicilian father. I worked for a man who was 6'7", 300 something pounds. He was my boss at a distributor, and he was intense. He's great now. Mm-hmm. Love you, John. But. Nothing fazes me anymore because I got told to go fuck myself 100 times a day. And I just learned that
just like sweating in the Florida sun going door to door.
My God.
I just can't.
No.
That sounds awful.
It's a terrible job. Anyone that comes to my house now, knocks on the door, I am so nice to them. I'm like, before you start, would you like a glass of water? I'm not going to buy anything from you. I'm not signing anything, but would you like a glass of water? No. Okay. Good luck. But
look at you.
Yeah. I know.
With your shelves of leather-bound books. And
I do have leather-bound books up there. Listen, people don't know. I started pretty scrappy beginnings, humble beginnings. Now I have leather-bound books.
Yes, you do.
All right,
yes,
we've devolved. I'm going to let you go. I know you got shit to do.
Nah.
I'm going to go bowling. This. That's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
But
well, have fun.
You're a delight.
Throw them straight, if that's what they say.
I'll try my best. You have a great night. Please keep being awesome and inspiring to other women in our industry. And thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. That just flew by.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.